Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, it is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019. This is the 82nd episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I can't believe 82. Brady Wright here getting really jacked up about the upcoming car show season because stuff is about to happen, I'm telling you. Our master mechanic and metal butcher, Shane Osborne, has taken the night off. Steve, the producer, Johan, is here, who knows all the words to the original song, Hot Rod Lincoln, every single syllable. Before we jump into the show, I do want to let everybody know that we are still looking for a couple of opportunities to get some choice openings for naming rights to this studio. You could be the business or car show that is mentioned every time we mention the studio. It could be the palatial, your business, Horsepower, Chrome & Rust Studio. Opportunity to reach a close targeted audience of just about a million people every week. That's how many people get shared to. Your name gets attached to the richly appointed studios. And, I mean, let's face it, how cool is that? If you got a business that caters to car people, let us work for you. Just imagine the fun that could be. Back to the Blacktop is what we're doing right now. And if you want to get a part of that, just email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com or message us on Facebook. Now, let us take a look and see what Dr. Steve has happening in the automotive world.
Yes, we'll open up the hood and look at what's going on in the industry.
There's rust in there.
And this is in for, well, this is kind of big news for anybody who is a motorcyclist and a fan of going to Sturgis.
I'm listening.
Well, for motorcycle fans and Sturgis fans, rally fans, you will now have many choices of merchandise to choose from thanks to a final ruling on an eight-year court battle over the use of Sturgis used within a design. Court ruled no one can trademark Sturgis, Sturgis Rally, Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, etc. So the Sturgis blah, 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 marketing something can no longer say, we want money from you who's selling something that says Sturgis on it. So that's good news. That means everybody and their neighbors going to have their own designs and they don't have to pay out anything.
Well, the interesting thing was for years, I mean, since the rally started, there has always been 10,000 different Sturgis designs. Now, the city, the Chamber of Commerce, the people that put on the rally, they choose number one. This is the official design. And they always have done that. But, you know, it's literally a marketing festival. So you go there and you can get any darn thing you want.
That's right.
And this all started because they said, well, we got a copyright, so we're going to, you know, get money out of this. Well, there's really no money to have. If you tell everybody that this is the number one, this is the official design, then everybody knows, you know, there's no copyright infringement if they've changed the design. And as long as they don't say this is the official Sturgis, it's just like anything else. If you want to be the Rotorama shirt, you want to be the good guys shirt, you got to pay. But other than that, there's no reason you can't do another one if it's a different design.
Right.
So I'm glad that they got this figured out because they have been fiddling around with it for about 8 years.
8 years. I remember on my other show, Hog Radio Show, we talked about this.
It's nice to get it cleared up.
Well, electrics are all the rage at the New York Auto Show this week.
Oh, buddy.
And the following three highlights, more than 40 vehicles using some form of battery power are on display. Two of the three finalists for World Car of the Year at the 2019 New York Show are fully electric. And three, the Jaguar I-Pace wins Car of the Year, World Car Design, and World Green Car for 2019. So congratulations to Jaguar. And 40 electrics now. That is amazing.
Yeah. You know, there's a piece of counter-programming polling going on, too, having to do with that.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it just today. I wish I had cut it out and brought it in or, you know, copied it off. Apparently, there is some research that has been done that says the electrics and the batteries and things like that for those things may actually produce more pollution, more potential pollution than some of the internal combustion engines because of how difficult it is to get rid of those things once they're played out, the batteries and stuff. Now, it's an early piece of survey, but it had some teeth, and I'm going to go back and reread it. I don't want to say something that isn't correct here, but you know, there's always something. Solar you know, was a great big cool deal until they found out it was hideously expensive.
Right.
There's, you know, there's bound to be some blowback on this. Because those batteries really are hard to get rid of. Once they're done, there's some hazmat in there that they got to take
care
of.
Well, and it's not.
But
like
I don't know that it's
with,
more than internal combustion. I mean, let's face it.
Well, lead acid based batteries, you can recondition lead and reuse it, can you not?
Well, you can. You can recycle it.
That's what I mean.
But it is a hazmat thing, so it's pretty carefully
because of
controlled.
It's
a toxic metal.
Yeah.
And you know, lithium ion, same sort of thing. It's controlled. How easy it is and what's left when you're done, I don't know. I'm not enough of a scientist
it'll,
to have a
It'll be interesting because they
that.
Say part of this is the mining of the materials and all as well. There's always a give and take whenever you're dealing with anything.
I say we go back to steam.
Yeah. Well, Fiat Chrysler is recalling more than 320,000 Dodge Dart compact cars in North America that could roll away due to defective shift cable bushings. Wow, 320,000 Dodge Darts. And if that's not enough, possibly more airbag-related recalls. U.S. auto safety regulators have expanded investigation into malfunctioning airbag controls to include 12.3 million vehicles because the bags may not inflate in a crash. This is the Toyota, Honda, Hyundai, and Mitsubishi, and Fiat Chrysler, all from 2010 to 2019. Oh, my gosh. You know,
that's like every car that's on the road.
It really is. It just makes you shudder when you really think about
them.
It. You shudder.
Yeah.
You really
do. You get a recall. Obviously, they're going to replace the bags, and they're going to replace the activating device.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. Well, have they fixed it?
There's
that nagging thing in the back of your head. Well, they put a new one in. Who says 5 years from now we don't discover the new one's just as bad? I mean, it's a nightmare
from
the marketing guy's standpoint. It's just horrible. And I feel badly for the companies that were involved in the thing. But, man, that's QC. That's QC from way back. What were you not testing these things?
Well, how would you test something that for 5 years before
they do it with mattresses. They do it with almost everything. You blow it up until it fails. It's just part of R&D.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Especially if it's a thing that is supposed to save your life.
Right.
Please tell me you have tested it a lot.
Okay, so if they don't go off, then I guess you would have to artificially age a car. And keep smacking it. You'd have to have a fleet of cars. You smack them to see if it explodes.
Well, yeah, you don't have to artificially age them. You just keep banging on it until it fails.
Right.
I mean, what is it going to take to make this thing fail? That's a whole separate industry.
I know.
You know, and it's criminal that this is what it has come to.
Well, ongoing Carlos Ghosn saga, speaking of criminal, continues with the latest update on the day jailed former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn was supposed to be released. Japanese prosecutors brought a new charge against him, virtually assuring he will remain in custody in the near future after finding out payments made to Nissan by a supplier were allegedly redirected to himself.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, this guy.
They do find this eventually. You know,
yes, they do.
You may get away with it for a little while, but they're going to find out.
Oh, jeez. And then on a happy note, congratulations to Ford, who is celebrating the 55th anniversary of Mustang.
Yes.
And
yes,
it is also the world's best-selling sports coupe for 2018 again on the strength of 113,066 cars sold. This marks the fourth consecutive year Mustang claims the title of a world's best-selling sports coupe as well as best-selling sports car in the United States. And, you know, interestingly enough, it's the market share in a global sports car market is 15.4%.
Yep. And you almost can't say Mustang without saying Shelby. And just a couple of weeks ago, we had the CEO of Shelby America on. It was a great story. And, you know, they sure paved the
Vince
way
Violette.
For an awful lot of muscle cars.
And if you haven't heard that, just go back in our archives on iTunes
2 weeks ago.
Or Podomatic. And Vince Violette was on.
La Violette. Yeah.
And great guy. We'll have to bring him back on.
Yeah,
so.
He said he would come back.
Yep.
Cool. Well, hey, we're glad to have you with us. Coming up, we get to talk to a guy who has grown a small local show in Central Washington into a major summer event. And all that is coming up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow. Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Hey, we are back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's time for the windshield view, and that's where we kind of check out what's going on in the big, wide, wonderful world of automotive stuff. This week, we have with us, by way of a telephone connection in the titanium-plated HCNR studios, Jeff Conwell, the brains behind the Monsters in Manson Rat Rod show. But before we officially welcome Jeff to the show, I'm going to embarrass him thoroughly because I know some stuff about how he got where he was.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Jeff has a career in promoting stuff. He started out as a yell king in high school. And then and then he decided that radio was a good idea, so he got into the radio business and spent, 40 years in radio. And then he bought himself an advertising agency and ran that for another 25 or 30 years easy. And then he retired and went to Chelan and thought he was going to, you know, live there, but they threw him out and made him move to Manson.
Wow.
So when in Manson, he didn't have anything
else. He doesn't
else to,
sound 90.
No, no, he didn't have anything else to do over there, so he decided that it'd be a good idea to open up a sandwich shop franchise, which he is, in fact, the head cheese of the Cheesy Boy featured.
Oh, wow.
Green Dot Sub Shop, which has, by the way, one of the all-time best subs in the universe. If you go over there, whether you go to the one in Chelan or the one in Manson or the one in, isn't the one in Tri-Cities?
No,
you had one in Tri-Cities for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, the freaking Stehekin is the sandwich of the gods.
Oh wow,
over
that
there.
Sounds like really good. And
but
hot?
Wait, it gets better. It wasn't enough that he should do this. They also drafted him into the Manson Chamber of Commerce, and a few years ago he said to himself, you know, I need to produce an event that's going to be cool. So he came up with the idea of doing a rat rod show.
Right.
And he didn't know what rats were. And he wasn't altogether sure what rods were, but he said, you know, I'm going to do this. And the thing has turned into a giant. It's a monster, which, you know, the title Monsters
in
Manson. And just recently, we were laughing about this because Jeff and I go back far enough that we were both in radio together. Jeff is now the, is it news and program director at KOZI in Chelan?
News and program director, yeah.
There you go. So with all of that said, thanks. It's been great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hold on. Hold on. So Jeff, where is Manson?
All right.
Well, first, before I start, I have to apologize. If I have to stop and clear my throat. just before we went on here, I choked on a piece of meat, and I'm now washing it down with copious amounts of wine. So
oh, good.
Oh, okay.
Well, that good. Then you're totally prepared for the show. I don't see anything wrong with this at all.
Little show prep.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so great question. Manson, Washington is located on the shores of beautiful Lake Chelan. Yeah. And, you know, we're a little bit overlooked sometimes, but we're really kind of the great secret of North Central Washington. You know, everyone knows where Chelan is because, of course, the name is Lake Chelan. And
if it
was Lake Manson, it would be a different story, but it's not.
It would.
So we're 7 miles up the lake on the north shore from the city of Chelan. And it's an amazing little town out here. Wapato Point is one of our crowning jewels. There's a terrific resort out there. There's so many great things to do out here. In fact, we boast in Manson more wineries than anywhere else in the Lake Chelan Valley. In fact, when you all come over for the Rat Rod Show downtown, from where the Rat Rod Show is, you can sample some 14, 15 different wines.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of tasting rooms right downtown, close to where the show
is. Gorgeous.
It's
and beautiful country.
Yeah.
The hills are just covered with grapevines and vineyards
and
orchards.
I want to kind of
orchards. Mm-hmm.
So now, how long have you been living over there, Jeff?
Yeah, so my wife and I found this lovely place on a little lake that's a mile and a half from Lake Chelan, and it's called Rosa's Lake. So there are actually here in Manson, there are actually 4 lakes. And everyone just sees Chelan because it's the crowning jewel, of course. I'm in a little lake called Rosa's Lake. We built over here in 1999 and straddled, like a lot of folks do, you know, who fall in love with it over here. They'll, go over to Western Washington to make their money and then come over here to have a great life.
There you go.
And so we did that till 2011. And moved over here full time, took a year off, just did a lot of voiceover work in my studio in the basement. And then my wife started thinking, hey, maybe we should do something. We kick off this sub shop, join the Chamber of Commerce, and it goes nuts. And we haven't sat down since. So it's just been busy and a lot of fun. You know, we started Green Dot as a opportunity to give back to the community, to create some jobs, to work with kids. We really enjoy working with kids and helping them learn skills. And we have a terrific community here of kids. They're really thoughtful young people. And, you know, as we progressed through this Chamber of Commerce thing and wanting to do things that we could introduce Manson to more people, one guy, this is about 6 years ago, says, hey, you know, we ought to do a Rat Rod Show. And, of course, he's no longer in business.
but the idea was solid.
The idea was solid, yeah. And so he actually kicked off the whole idea of, maybe doing this Rat Rod Show. And so, you know, we just kept mulling it over and mulling it over. And I thought, you know what? There's nothing to mull over. We just need to do it. And so we put it together. And I know several of the clubs over there, you know, Rat Bastards, and you guys have been just terrific in helping us with support and driving awareness of this show. And, you know, it's a terrific show. It does a lot of great things for the community. And hopefully the folks that come over are having a ball, because I know every year when guys are here in town, they're going, you guys got to keep doing this show. You got to keep doing this show. And that makes us feel pretty good. So this year we've got a great program put together. And I should also tell folks that, you know, the proceeds that come from our sponsors and from entry fees and whatnot, we're using to drive a scholarship program
right
up at Manson
Excellent.
High School.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
and it works out really well.
Well, you know what I like about it is you can come over, you spend the weekend, so it does really good for the city and the townships around there. Whether it's a bed and breakfast, a timeshare, or a motel, it's a wonderful time of the year. Typically, you're going to get a little drier weather over in that side of the mountains than you might over mm-hmm. here. And, you know, for guys and gals that love driving cars, be it Rat Rods or Customs or any kind of car, it's just, you know, it's what, about how many? About 3.5-4 hours to drive over there, which, depending on the way you take over there. But it's a nice cruise on over the Chelan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a real nice
weekend.
Drive from either side of the pass. You know, whether you take 90 or you take 2, it's a beautiful drive.
Yep.
But a lot of guys come there from, you get people from Spokane, you get people from Tri-Cities, people come
there
down.
There you go. They
you
come
know,
right on up through Blewett Pass or something like
a lot
that.
Of players. There's an RSC group over there that has a lot of players. Been there the last couple of years. I've talked to most of them. And everybody's looking forward to this show this year. Now give me a plan as to what, you got some cash prizes, right? in addition to the scholarship.
You know, yeah, we've got a $500 cash prize for first place.
Right.
$250 for second, $100 for third. So we're excited. It's always fun to give the cash away. And, you know, we know how hard these guys work on these rat rods. And it's just a passion. And you can see it in what guys are putting together. And
oh, yeah.
It's just so fun to see the work that people are pouring into these cars and trucks, and just a hoot to visit with people when they come out for the show. So when it comes time to give away cash, it makes us feel pretty good.
No doubt. Well, again, speaking of the work that some of those guys put in, I talked with some of those, you know, the guys that have been at that show. Reagan Heaton was there last year, and he had a real nice, you know, response to the car he built. And he took it back, and over the winter, he said, you know, I think I just need to do one thing. And you know how that story goes. So yeah. After he pulled the whole thing down to the frame and basically rebuilt it.
Oh, no.
He's coming again. It's all done now, but it's really just excellent looking. You'd know the car if I described it to you.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, and it's fun to see, like you say, some of the modifications that guys, you know, put into the cars. And what's been fun for us over here is that when, you know, everybody comes to town, the local guys that get influenced by the show.
Oh yeah.
And they're going, man, I'm making a car. My neighbor, he loves the show. And every year he's like, I need a t-shirt and I need a poster. And this year he's bringing a rat rod. So you know,
cool.
It's pretty fun to see how people get pulled in and have so much fun with it.
Well, I know that this year is going to be really exciting for a couple of different reasons. We're going to talk about them in just a little bit. We got just a real quickie. What's the name of the band you got this year, real quick?
Oh, hey, we brought back the same guys. Everybody kept telling us, you know, these guys are off the hook. It's Jesse James and the Mob.
Too cool.
And
we are going to talk about that when we come back on the other side. We're going to take a break right here. I love the name. I saw it on the promo sheet. Jesse James and the Mob is just too good. Hey, we will be back. Hang with us. More from Jeff and another story, too, from the old Car Nut books. All of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Stay with us. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and we're talking with Jeff Conwell of Monsters and Manson Show. And just before the break, we were talking about, you know, your neighbor being so inspired.
Jesse James and the Mob.
That he's going to bring over his rat rod. And then we finished off with Jesse James and the Mob music. So kind of tell us what goes on, how long is this event, and pretty much what things people can look forward to beyond just cruising over there and hanging out.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into putting on one of these shows, and I've got an incredible group of guys here in Manson. We actually start meeting in November for this show in May, and you know, it starts out with you know, bad coffee and breakfast, and you know, we just start working through the stuff that we want to get done, and primarily it means getting on everybody's calendar for the coming year, right?
Right.
So we try to, you know, cross all those T's and dot the I's and get that information out so, you know, everybody knows that the show's coming up. But we work out, you know, gosh, what, 7 months before the show even comes. And it's really a passion for the guys that are putting this together. And we have a heck of a lot of fun putting it on. Jesse James and the Mob, yeah, great band. We've got a great big flatbed truck we block the street off with. They throw the band up there and they just pull out the stops and bring some great music. So
yeah, they killed it last year. They were awesome last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they can play virtually any genre. It's crazy, but you know,
I want them to play polkas. Let's see how they do with a polka. Come on. You threw down.
I think they got a squeeze box in there.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. So the music's going to be great. Yeah, you can count on that. Great food, downtown Manson. We have the whole street blocked off, so you know, people can just wander around downtown casually. You know, one of the big icon places downtown Manson is called My Buddy's Place.
Yeah.
And you don't want to miss My Buddy's Place. And there's also Lake Chelan Brewery, all sorts of terrific eateries. North Shore Cafe, by the way, I should let everybody know. North Shore Cafe is literally right in front of registration and everything. They're going to be open extra early for breakfast and everything else. So if, you know, if folks want to stop in and get food, you know, they can do that.
For sure.
But everybody's going to be running specials for folks in the show.
Oh, yeah.
So that they can get a discount on lunch if they want to grab some wine and some souvenirs or whatnot. There's going to be great values for everybody who comes out for the show. You can count on that too.
Well, I know a couple of years ago, you moved the show from Leffler Field, which is just off the side of the road, up to the main. I mean, you're in the street now, and that's so much more fun. I mean, it's right in the middle of the town. Everybody's taking part. You can just sit. You could literally go. We did, in fact, went and had lunch within view of our car.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice. Oh, and we would be remiss if we didn't say nice stuff about the registration party, Wine Girl Wines and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll get to that. But I got to take you back to Leffler Field.
Because go ahead.
That's where it all started.
Yes.
And, you know, a shout out if I could to the Leffler family, because that field is still owned by the Leffler family, and they have allowed Manson as a community to use that field for so many different things. And they don't charge. They just say, put us on your insurance, you know, so we don't get in trouble. But, you know, we had the first couple shows there, and it was great. People are, you know, willing to come out there to Leffler Field. It's a nice piece of property and everything, but there's something about putting it in the streets that just takes it just takes it to the next level.
Sure.
And so we love being out there in downtown Manson. It's great to be down there with where all the action is. And it's great. And you were just asking me another question, and it blew out of my brain, Brady.
Well, we were talking about the early registration is where the party is. Join us at Wine Girl Wines May 17th, starting at 3 p.m. You can register, taste some great wines, and then there's a huge selection of ales and IPAs, plus an amazing humidor stocked with you know, choice cigars. I mean, that's a big thing I noticed too. Is a lot of guys like to smoke cigars and hang out at their rat rods. And you know who else likes to smoke a lot of cigars? Cops. I went to a cop rodeo cop motorcycle event, and I swear half the cops were smoking cigars. It was amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, Todd Link is the big promoter at Wine Girl Wines, and Angela is the winemaker there. They do a fabulous job. They've got a terrific venue, and it's just a great place to hang out and chill. We're also going to be having a live broadcast from the Quake, which is the classic rock station.
Nice.
From Wenatchee. Yeah, they'll be out there broadcasting live, promoting the event. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, Angela makes some fabulous wines, but they've got a great stock of IPAs and ales, like you say. And Todd's a cigar aficionado. He loves to sit down and chew the fat and have a cigar with fellas. So he's got a little bonfire out there. And it's just great fun. Great venue. great day.
Well,
speaking of live broadcasts, I'm coming over for the show. I've already got my hotel reservations and everything, and we'll be bringing some gear. I'm going to try to get some interviews while I'm over there. So you know, maybe if I can look you up, Jeff, if you could just spare just a couple of minutes for me. I know that it's a long and drawn out process, but you know, if you could just cut some time out of your famous guy schedule, and maybe we could talk.
Yeah, right. There you have it.
Hey, by the way,
anytime for you, my man.
By the way, the hotel situation over there is actually pretty good, but like every event that you go to out of town, the earlier you book, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Wapato Point is there. It's really nice. Mountain View Lodge is another one. I'm actually, Darnell's in Chelan still has some places, and Riverside Inn down there, they've got some stuff. Mm-hmm. River Run, I think.
River Walk.
That's what it is.
but you would do well to run for your reservation.
I suppose. Well, I'm already there. I just couldn't remember the name of the place. I try to stay there as much as I can. It's nice. They got a nice little breakfast there.
And if you're part of World Mart or World Mart or the other one, and they've got two different condos over there.
Oh, very
there,
nice.
We stayed at Chelan. You know, I did notice here that on Saturday afternoon at the Leffler Field, there's a giant wine and jazz festival. So, me being a big jazz guy, that'd be wonderful. I mean, you could start on a Friday, head over, get there, actually leave early and miss all the traffic, and get on over there or whatever.
or not.
You'll leave about 10 o'clock here. You'll miss most of the traffic.
Yeah, you'd be lucky.
And then you get in, you park, you get yourself settled in. And then you just enjoy the evening before festivities and then the morning and all day festivities. You could go to the jazz event in the afternoon and then head off on Sunday morning after all of it. You can make a full weekend of just nothing but a great time.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, you're right on, Steve. It's one of those things where this Wine and Jazz Festival has blown up, and it's actually a four-day event. So if you want to squeeze in an extra day, it actually kicks off on Thursday and runs through Sunday. And it's just an amazing event that they've created. And, you know, it's like almost overnight that thing just took off. So it's going to be fun because they kick off at Leffler Field at 1 o'clock. That show is going to go until 6. And then there's a huge grand finale up at the Mill Bay Casino.
And that's just right down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Just down the road. Great venue. They've got a terrific amphitheater out there. So lots to do for folks that, you know, come over for the Rat Rod Show. And you're spot on. I mean, if you're going to make the trip over, make a weekend of it, because it's just really a terrific place. You know, this is Washington State's number one vacation destination.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, so you just, you know, take advantage of it. You know, and it's interesting because statistics say that only 10% of Western Washingtonians know about Lake Chelan. 10%!
That's crazy.
It's incredible.
I know a number of people have condos and property and family, vacation homes over there. I know a number of people who head over there.
Well, just how cool are we? I mean, we are obviously in the 10%. Of the Quincenti. I mean, we know what there is to know. And I can't, you know, we've been coming to Chelan and Wenatchee and all, you know, the whole Central Washington Basin over there for years. And I can't imagine how so many people aren't aware. But you know what? That makes it that much more special.
It does. Yeah, you know, and it's crazy because we actually get 300 days of sunshine a year.
Don't rub it in.
I'm just saying.
You're killing me. It's raining today over here.
I know. I was talking to my dad, and I was like, "Hey, what's the weather?" He's like, "Oh, it's just raining." I was like, "Oh, it's sunny here."
Well, and speaking of lakes, there, our church has a camp over there. Well, we used to go. It's called Lake Eniat, and that's right down part of. You know, that's another lake right along there right now.
Yep.
It's on the way.
Right, it's on the way to Chelan. Yeah,
absolutely.
So there's a lot of things. And, you know, what's interesting is I know we're about cars and everything, but what's interesting is how Washington, the eastern side of Washington, has, within the last basically 25 years, transformed itself into one of the world's most biggest producers of wine. And we're not talking five, six. We're talking dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of wineries that are world class.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing.
There's at least 300 wineries just right there in Chelan. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I know there's got to be that many.
Well, there's about 40.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It really is amazing. I mean, you can literally go a block And I mean, within every block, there's another winery or another tasting room or nothing. And they're all just excellent. They got so many good products.
And you know what? Let me pigpile on that because, you know, you've got cideries over here too.
Yes.
And there's, that's become
Rootwood.
Huge.
Rootwood. Okay. So when you guys come over, we got to go down. We can walk from the Rat Rod Show. We've got to go up to Rootwood Cider.
All right.
They make a hop infused cider.
Well, I'm liking this already.
It's got a kind of an IPA nose, and then you go to taste it. It tastes like an IPA, and then finishes with this sweet, wonderful cider. You just go,
wow.
What just happened?
Well, you sold
me. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's
really good. Really good. So you got to try that when you get over here.
Now, talk to us a little bit about the vehicles that are going to be there. Where are they coming from? It's growing every year. So where do you draw from?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've had, you know, folks calling from as far away as California, which for some shows probably isn't a big deal. But for us, you know, getting a call from California, people saying we're coming. Oregon, Idaho, Washington. We've had some Canadians, you know,
nice.
So people are coming from all over the Northwest. We're in kind of an interesting location. And so it makes us pretty available, you know, like Brady was pointing out, Spokane and, you know, Coeur d'Alene, some of those bigger towns that are just right around the fringes.
But,
you know, we're right in the center. We're kind of the hub, and it makes it, like you say, pretty easy for folks from the west side of the state to make the run over. Vast majority of the folks are coming, of course, from Western Washington. I think you guys probably have more rat rods per capita than the rest of us.
It's because we got a lot of old cars and junkyards.
So that's what makes it fun. And, you know, you get those over here and, but that's where we're really drawn from. And, you know, we welcome anybody and everybody to make the trip over. It'll definitely be worth their while. They'll have a great time. You know, one of the things I can tell you about the business community here in Nansen is that everybody is dialed in to giving our visitors a world-class experience.
Yeah.
We want people to leave here going, wow. And I don't care whether, you know, it was just stopping in to, you know, buy a sub or whether you're staying in a hotel or you're, you know, whatever the experience is, everybody wants you to walk away going, wow.
Yep. And I can testify to that. We've been coming over there for family reunions for decades, and it's always a good time. It's always a friendly time. It's always a family time.
You know, guys, I want to hit up the dates again. This is going to be May 17th is Friday. The official day is May 18th, and then, of course, you can come back on May 19th if you want to make a full weekend of it. But
that's right.
Where do people go to register for this?
Yeah, it's real simple. You can go to the website events.com, and if you just type in Manson, you can type in Rat Rod, too. But it'll pop up, and you can register right there. It's only $20 to register on events.com. $25 the day of the show. We have got, I got to tell you, I don't know how much time we have, but, you know, our artist, he is an absolute crazy guy, and he loves rat rods. Every year he comes up with something new and different and fun and collectible. So I'd like to think that the art that we do is really quite collectible. And last year we started auctioning off the banners.
Yes,
and
that was great.
I have to tell you. Yeah, and you know what? Again, this money goes to help the scholarship program.
Uh-huh.
And I think we auctioned off four banners, and each banner went for over $100.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. And I, in fact, I can tell you that Ron Foreman got one of them, and that banner is hanging in his shop where the magic happens.
Nice.
And it's
nice.
Awesome.
It's super nice.
So this year we came up with two cool banner designs, and we've got a total of six banners that we're going to auction off. So it's just a great way for us to help support these kids. And I just, again, want to reiterate, when we go up to that scholarship night and we're able to hand off a check, you know, for $1,500 to one of these kids that want to get into the automotive repair industry, it's a great place, guys, to be investing.
Excellent.
I love it.
Well, so one more time, it's events.com, Manson. That'll get you the registration, $20. And again, the date is the 17th, right,
of May,
thank you. And it is in Central Washington. It's accessible from every place, and it is just going to be a super show. This is the fifth year, and man, Jeff, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You know, you and I go back far enough, but this show is a winner, and you deserve some of the congratulations for making that happen.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Well, guys, thank you so much, and thanks for all your support, and we do appreciate it. It's terrific, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
That's
all right.
Great.
And also, by the way, on that Saturday, Jeff will have pre-recorded his show Second Cup of Coffee on KOZI so he can hang out at the show and, you know, be the live announcer.
Well, that sounds familiar. Pre-recording a show? What's that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, a star of stage, screen, and radio.
Don't tell my secrets.
The cat's out of the bag.
This is where we do the joke where you've got the perfect face for radio. Is that how that?
Exactly. Yeah. You're on to me.
You and me, buddy. All right. Hey, it's been a pleasure, Jeff. We really appreciate it. Once again, this is coming up a month away, less than a month away. God, it's 22 days?
Yeah.
Jeez. Register now, people. Get your car on this. It's going to be a winner.
Yeah.
I know that there's even more rat rods this year than last year. Monsters and Manson. Jeff Conwell, thanks a whole ton. We are really glad you got a chance to stop by.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks, Brady.
You bet. You have a good night. We'll be right back with more of the show and a really cool story.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air-Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
Welcome to Story Time segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential. It could be sponsored by you, by the way.
Could be.
Where we usually hear another story from the old Car Nut book series by David Dickinson. Brady, which story do you have today?
I love this one. This is in honor of Jeff Goldblum. This is called The Human Fly.
Yes. Quite a story.
Kai Mitchelson wrote this one, and it's a lot of fun. So here we go. In 1977, I was contracted to build a rocket-powered motorcycle capable of jumping over 27 buses. Is this sounding familiar? The jump was to take place at the Montreal Olympic Stadium as a halftime show for a concert featuring Gloria Gaynor and a number of other disco stars. Back in the 70s, the daredevil rider was Rick Rojat, otherwise known as the Human Fly. Now, at the time, Evel Knievel held the record jump of 13 buses, and Rick wanted to beat it really badly, so his claim to fame at that point in his career was an astonishing stunt that he'd performed over the Mojave Desert, where he'd wing-walked on a DC-8 and actually made two low-flying passes at 250 miles an hour. It's nearly impossible, death-defying, and so that's what led him to do this. The other very unique thing about this off-the-wall daredevil was that he was never seen out of costume, and he kept his true identity a secret by wearing a red mask and a white cape identical to the comic book action hero. So from the moment I met this guy, I was convinced it was an accident looking for a place to happen, especially when he told me he wanted to attempt 36 buses. I managed to convince him otherwise when we discussed the fact that in order to do something that remarkable, he'd have to hit a jump ramp at well over 100 miles an hour and continue to burn the rocket a couple more seconds after takeoff. I explained to him that it was definitely possible, but the fact remained that acceleration of that magnitude in such a small area would launch him headfirst through the concrete pillar at the opposite end of the arena. This would not be good. Conversation resulted in his finally accepting the challenge for 27 instead. He'd still have to travel at about 80 miles an hour, and it wasn't that there wouldn't be a crash, for I was pretty certain there was going to be a crash. It was just a matter of how bad it would be by the time he reached our nets and a huge airbag that we'd have set up. So I knew the decrease in speed and thrust would make a huge difference. I felt we probably could pull this one off with minimal damage to the bike, or to Rick, hopefully. The guy was determined, and since my business at the time was working with stunt people, daredevils, and people with death wishes, I remained intrigued and as optimistic as possible, praying I wouldn't fall witness to the hand of death swatting the human fly. I became even more concerned when I received a phone call from an insurance broker by the name of Bruce McCaw, who called in to thank me, saying I was responsible for throwing a lot of business his way. When I asked him what he meant by that, he told me he'd just issued a life insurance policy on the human fly, and that Lee Taylor had been a client of his as well. That really got me thinking. As we prepared for this stunt, it soon became obvious that one of the biggest challenges we faced was the space constraint in the arena. There was no room to accelerate to the speed required, so I came up with a plan. I'd build a rocket-powered motorcycle that would sit right at the bottom of the ramp instead of making the usual fast and furious approach. All the fly would have to do was get on, wave to the crowd, press the button and say a quick prayer, and hang on for dear life. Rick liked the idea and agreed to try it, so he sent me a brand new 1977 Harley-Davidson XL1000 Sportster, a true black beauty, to build from. So I put exactly 3 miles on it, and then the fun began. I yanked out the engine. I built two 1,500-pound thrust hydrogen peroxide rockets, which I mounted one on top of the other, directly underneath the fuel tank. Other than the two polished stainless steel rocket motors hanging off the back of the bike, I left everything else intact, including the headlight and taillight, to make it look completely stock. Well, except for the motors. By the time I finished, this refined machine boasted 6,000 horsepower.
Oh, wow.
In other words, if a guy were to take this thing out to the local drag strip, hold the throttle wide open and hang on, hoping the tires didn't fall right off, he'd be capable of going well over 300 miles per hour in the quarter. Now, I let Rick know the bike was ready. We delivered it to Montreal. We all met up the day before the event, delivered all the equipment, and met with the promoters and discussed the plans. They'd hired contractors to put the jump equipment together for us, which I wasn't real happy about, but I finally agreed to. We went over to the stunt as thoroughly as possible, and much to my amazement, Rick didn't want to do any practice runs at all. He just sat on the bike, admiring it, determined to just wait until the time came. I gave him the step-by-step, detailed instructions. Does this sound like bad things are going to happen?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking
yes.
Myself. I gave him the instructions on how to operate the rockets, and he just took it all in, nodding as I went along. I knew he understood what I was saying, but I hardly slept that night because I was always so safety-conscious and typically rehearsed stunts many times before actually performing them. I was pretty uneasy with this particular situation. Jim Deist, Dar Robinson, and I arrived at the arena bright and early. Much to our surprise, we could clearly see that the blueprints for both the jump and the receiving ramps were obviously not adhered to, as there were major flaws in both of them.
Oh.
The jump ramp was way too steep, which would cause the rocket bike to come off it at the wrong angle and stall. I was even more concerned about the receiving ramp, though, as the last 10 buses were supposed to be covered by plywood extending to the ramp. What we found instead was a plywood ramp that was about 6 feet above the buses and exposed steel cross members.
Oh.
I told the promoters that their contractors, or whoever it was, built those things, obviously didn't follow the blueprints we'd provided, and I was not going to fuel the rocket bike up until major changes were made to the receiving ramp. The whole thing turned into a major ordeal by the time we did our last safety inspection, which forced the show to change times quite a bit. So we watched the entertainment, but there was no sign of the human fly anywhere. As intermission approached, we were all really apprehensive, and to be honest, I truly couldn't believe my eyes when Rick and his entourage entered the arena. I had secretly been hoping that maybe he'd gotten up that morning, looked in the mirror, and asked himself,
yes.
Do I really want to die? Is this a good idea? Do I really want to break Evel Knievel's record this badly? Well, that was not to be, as the promoter announced the stunt, and the human fly took center stage in full costume. The crowd went absolutely wild. I stood in awe as he hopped on the motorcycle, waved to the crowd, looked over at me, gave me a thumbs up, turned on the safety switch, and slowly opened the throttle. The rocket bike started up the ramp slowly at first, and then the human fly pinned the throttle wide open. The cloud of smoke was a sight to nearly behold in the pitch-dark arena. The superheated steam shot out the back as the bike climbed up the ramp, and instead of launching forward into the air, it went much higher than it should have and nearly straight up. Because of the wrong angle, it stalled when he let off the throttle, and the rear end dropped, nearly arching the bike completely backwards as it hit the receiving ramp hard before crashing down on him. My heart just pounded as I stood there witnessing the crash of all crash landings right before my eyes. A hush fell over the crowd as we all feared the worst, because it looked like nobody could possibly have survived such a crash landing. We were soon relieved, though, when we realized he was actually okay. He'd survived the crash and had broken Evil's record, but not without paying the price. He waved to the crowd as he was carried off on a stretcher, suffering a broken ankle and a couple of other injuries. Now, that jump and my rocket bike went down in the history books, and then as things worked out, I lost track of both the human fly and the bike. I'm happy to say, however, that the story has a rather unique ending. Even though I had long since gotten over owning that fine machine, I received a call not long ago from a stuntman friend of mine, Bubba, a renowned and a darn good motorcycle jumper himself, with some astonishing news. He told me he had picked up a Trading Times magazine while he was in Florida and was dumbfounded when he spotted a motorcycle in it that he could have sworn was my original rocket bike. There's a picture here. He gave me the phone number, and I immediately contacted the owner, a guy named John Werner, who attested and confirmed that it was, in fact, the bike used in that incredible stunt. I told him to name his price. I wanted it back, and badly, so he agreed to sell it back to me for $6,500. I sent a good friend of mine down to pick it up. I'm pleased and proud to say it's now resting in my rocket shop where I built it some 23 years ago. I've got just the thing to jump over 28 buses, but there's a condition. They need to see a psychiatrist first.
Wow, what a story.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my gosh. Apparently, they didn't fix the ramp. No.
It was not a good engineering feat. I'm going to put a picture of this thing on the website so people can see it. It's just too much.
Oh, gosh. I was cringing. I was cringing the whole
time.
Oh,
you knew it was going to go sideways. You knew it was. David Dickinson compiles the Old Car Nut book series. There's three of them. Of course, you can get them at Amazon and through the oldcarnutbook.com, and they do make a terrific gift. We have a whole bunch of cool stuff coming up, not the least of which is this week's trivia question. And as you remember, last week's trivia question was a very complex and off-the-wall question. This week is even weirder, so don't go anyplace, because I'm telling you, you put it in park and stick around, you're going to want to be here for this. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man, only you can understand.
Help yes, it is. One more time with the El Camino man, ladies and gentlemen, the incredible, wearing his Chevy logoed cape. Welcome back to segment five. This is Around the Wheel. Could be sponsored by you, of course, if you're smart. This is where we talk about upcoming events and cool stuff. And, of course, we did get a chance to talk about a really major upcoming event with Jeff Conwell a little while ago. The weekly trivia question is with us. Now, last week, when we last left our heroes, we were talking about seatbelts. Now, seatbelts are everywhere, of course, and you got to have them now. But there was a time when they weren't. And a question was asked, when were seatbelts first fitted to a vehicle? Now, we've had a question like this before.
Well, I thought it was Tucker.
Well, when were the seatbelts first required? But no, this is when were seatbelts first fitted to any vehicle.
Right.
Ah. So this was kind of a trick question, and we searched for a winner.
Right.
We searched.
Didn't come with one this year.
Actually, we did.
Oh.
Gary Buzich lives in Centralia, and he he sent me an email like literally last night.
Wow.
And said, is it too late? What do you got? So he came up with the answer. The answer, I got to get this now. Seatbelts first fitted to a motor vehicle in 1902.
Ooh, wow.
Now, here's the thing.
That rope?
It was actually a seatbelt, but this is even better. You'll be thrilled with this. It was an electric vehicle.
Oh, yes. Isn't that amazing?
1902 in a Baker Electric Streamliner. So it was a racing car. The thing crashed at 100 miles an hour on Staten Island, but it was the first vehicle to have seatbelts, which, as Bill Cosby would have said, it's handy. It doesn't save your life. It just makes the ambulance drivers able to find a body.
Oh, gosh.
So 1902. So Buzich... Gary Buzich comes up with the coveted and, let's face it, chrome-plated.
100 miles an hour on electric.
Crashed.
That's killer amount of speed.
Crashed at 100. So it
wow.
could have gone faster, probably.
Yes.
Anyway, Gary gets the bucket of horsepower, chrome, and rust.
The coveted bucket.
Coveted. Yeah, yes. It is coveted. We all covet it. It's sitting right over here. It's within 6 feet of me as I speak.
Yep.
And congratulations to Gary. Thanks for listening, too. We really appreciate it. This next question, the one for this coming week, is... all right. I dredged the bottom for this
okay.
one. I did. All right. This requires a little bit of a setup. In January of 1930, Cadillac debuted its V16 motor, 1930 now, in a car that was named for the theatrical version of a 1920s film that had been seen by Harley Earl, who designed the car, while he was designing the body. All right? So, here's the question.
Right.
What's the name of the film that Harley was watching? It is also the name of the model of Cadillac.
Wow.
1930 Cadillac.
Wow.
And the reason we're asking is... it was the first one to be named after a film, okay? Fleetwood built the coachwork. and so if you know this, then you will do the usual stuff. You can email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can also send us a message on Facebook, or you can just blatantly answer it on the Facebook page. It's okay. We time hack these things. So, yeah, what was the movie that Harley was watching that he named the car after? It's a 1930 Cadillac, and it's really a cool-looking car. It's got those big 15-inch Marshall headlights and everything.
That's amazing.
It's very slick. All right. So let's see. Coming up, we do... I did mention last week, this is the official Horsepower Chrome and Rust notification of the
Seafair.
The incidents of the very first Seattle Seafair Classic Car Show. 70 years Seafair has been doing this, and they finally have decided that they're going to do a car show as part of it. It is going to be a magical show. It's going to be held right at the Lake Washington Hydroplane Racing Course. It's right next to the pits. So check us out on Facebook, and you'll see information about that show. That means it's time for us to jet. I want to thank Shane Osborne and Steve Johann. I want to thank everybody for stopping by and talking with us about the Monsters and Manson show. And as we always say, keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we'll bring you the Furley Air Ride version of another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See ya.